This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Chris Rose, yep, Dugout Discussions, Baseball Today, NFL Network. He'll join us at 12:20. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on, including the Cavaliers. That's coming up at 12:20 for the Northeast Ohio native. And Danny Green at 1 o'clock, Odyssey Sports, NBA Insider. Okay, so we're talking a little bit about the pictures that got released yesterday, the pictures that I'm looking at here, of what the Brown Stadium would have looked like if the original proposal from 4 years ago, that's what these pictures are from, 4 years ago, the one that Scene Magazine got a hold of, and they published those yesterday. So, like I said before, give me a building with more than 15 dates, and if somebody wants to invest money, private money, and even if it goes with public money too, what are you going to do? The Browns' lease runs out very soon, so they've got to start making decisions on this thing. There isn't time to drag your feet. It's, you know, the worst answer in life is maybe. Maybe is so bad. Just yes or no. If it's no, you move on. If it's yes, then you can move forward. I don't know. Jeff, again, your thoughts when you saw this picture yesterday.
Well, there's an old picture. That's all I thought. That's all I thought. Okay, old picture, great. There are a lot of things you could do to renovate that place if you so chose to do that.
It's kind of where we're at.
Didn't do much for me.
I don't know. Someone told me a week ago. A politician actually said that the
do it, Dan.
Disapproval rate among fans is 70%. I don't believe that. Do you believe
70%
that?
70% of what?
Don't want the dome. You
okay.
Buy that?
Well, go ahead and throw $500 million of public funds into the stadium on the lake. I mean, I don't care. You know what I want, Andy? I want a football team.
I'm with you.
I don't care where they play. If you want to build a dome, great, build a dome. And as the Plain Dealer came out with its editorial staff and they backed the Dome Stadium, and the one reason they said was, who's going to donate or who's going to contribute $2.4 billion into a public development thing here in Cleveland? Let's see a show of hands.
You got 2.4. Anybody with $2.4 billion that's willing to put it back in the city, give me a call right now.
And I thought the Plain Dealer nailed it. They said, is this an ideal plan? No. Yeah, anybody have a better one? Nope. So, you know, they're going to have to figure it out. I would doubt seriously if the team leaves Cleveland anytime soon. And by anytime soon, I mean in 20, 30, 40 years.
And by Cleveland, you mean Northeast Ohio.
I mean leave our region.
Yeah, the region,
like,
Northeast
Ohio. You know, move to Tennessee, move to Florida, move to wherever. I do not see that happening. That means they're going to need a place to play. So if everybody's happy just continuing to play at the stadium, and which I have always, my contention has always been, fine place to watch a football game. It is. I mean, go sit down and watch the game. But everybody seems to want more than that. At least ownership does, and it seems like many fans do.
Ed's in a car. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi, good. Ed. How are you?
Good. Hey, I just wanted to chime in because I think the one point you raised about, like, we're all pawns in this.
I just feel like we're getting played.
Yeah, no, it's up to our elected leaders, along with the business community, and that includes the Haslams, to sit in a room and figure this out.
If you read Daryl's story, they did for years, especially before the change in the administration, that they were all on the same page until we got a new mayor.
Right. But that's what we elect people, and you know, people are in positions of leadership to figure this out. In my opinion, by moving this out of downtown Cleveland, we are taking a once-in-a-lifetime generational investment and planting it somewhere that has had no investment. You bring it and keep it downtown, it's a force multiplier for all the investment that's already here. Cleveland's the economic engine for this region. If this
goes sideways and moves out,
you guys, I'm telling you, this will be a major problem in terms of why this region never reaches its potential. In 20, 30 years, people will look back on this moment and say, boy, they screwed this one up.
You know, Ed, then just based on what you're saying, what really would have made sense, and we've all seen all the money they're putting into Hopkins, why didn't they just move Hopkins to where Burke is? If the generator there is the stadium, why wouldn't, well, if you're going to take down Route 2, right, and you're going to make it into a boulevard, why wouldn't they have done that instead? Like, that, because you, the place
why,
they're,
why would
they're
you
planning
put an
on,
airport
the place
on the
they're putting it there, well, they already have one.
A real one.
What do you mean? That's not a real airport, Burke?
Have you flown out of there?
Yes, I've flown out of there before.
Well, you know people with private jets. Nice.
Here's my point. So why are we investing money in the airport then? If that is that a generational bad move to invest more money in the airport, or should they have built a new airport?
But
here's the other thing: why isn't the airport closer to downtown then?
You're trying to put in an apples and oranges comparison here.
You're making a point that you're saying that by moving the stadium, we're making a generational mistake for a building that houses 15 events a year. Let's not kid ourselves. What does that building do for us? The money we put into it and the billions they're going to have to put into it to keep it going, what is it doing for us? It's 15 events a year. That's it.
There's nothing
bigger than that. Thanks, Ed. Appreciate your phone call. Other people on hold. Let's talk to Bob in Cleveland. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, sir. You know, Brook Park, that land used to be Cleveland?
Yeah.
Cleveland's land.
Yep.
And we traded it for the IX Center?
Yeah, there was a land swap there at one point. Yeah,
yeah, right. Can't we do it back?
I don't know. I think
and then it wouldn't be no problem, right?
I agree with that. And then all they needed, would anybody be mad if that land was still Cleveland's?
Have a bag of trinkets, Brook Park.
Hey, one more quick thing about the toe you were talking about the other day.
Oh, yeah.
My son went to high school with the mayor.
Okay.
He's not a sports person at all. Not at all.
All right. Well,
anyway,
I don't know.
I don't care. He's the mayor. He's got to figure it out.
I know. Well, anyway, so I was picking him up one day in school a long time ago, and we were playing kickball.
Mm-hmm.
The ball came by me, and I said, here, let me kick the ball to you. And I was right by a railing, and I kicked the railing.
Oh, man.
With my big toe, right?
Yeah.
So I couldn't say anything, so I kicked it with my other foot, and I made a joke, and I went in my car and cried.
And then you were out for the rest of the season,
and it hurt for 2 years, didn't it?
Bleeding. I was out for like six. That baby hurt so bad, it was crazy.
See?
All right, thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
Have a nice day. Bye.
You too. Thanks, Bob.
Can I throw in one thing?
Yes.
Brook Park is really close to Cleveland, blah, 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 blah.
It's on the board. It's like you put your finger to it.
What's the summer home of the Cleveland Orchestra?
Blossom.
Where is that?
Summit County.
It's in what used to be Northampton Township.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody think Blossom hurts our region?
Only when I have to leave it.
You don't know the ins and outs. That's the problem. You need to grow up in Northampton. You can do that.
Then we're going to talk in the break because I'm not saying it on the air if you're giving me some secret.
Anybody,
Richfield seems to be doing okay right now.
That
parking lot turns into Lord of the Flies.
It's horrible.
Did everybody hate the Price, Doherty, Nance, Hot Rod teams of the Cavs?
I couldn't because they weren't playing in downtown Cleveland, so I boycotted that whole era.
And did you ever go to a concert out there at the Coliseum?
Of course. My whole high school was built around Richfield.
Did you like the Miracle of Richfield?
I loved all of it. We wouldn't have had the Miracle of Richfield if
the Richfield
playing
Cavaliers played great basketball. The point is this.
It killed the economy, though, Jeff.
The point is this. If it's in our region, that's still good for the city of Cleveland. I think, personally, I don't know. Those two great facilities, Coliseum back in the day, and then Blossom, great to this day, don't seem to be a detriment to our city. I don't know. To me, they're not.
Kyle's in Cleveland. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, the only problem I have about the stadium is, you know, the Haslams are going to be receiving some funds from taxpayers. And
aren't they now?
They have. Regardless, I just have a problem with the fact that that product is abysmal. They don't win. I don't care if they played, if they carved out a stadium at Cargill's salt mine. I just want them to win.
Yeah.
So he's done nothing to have them win, and he does not deserve a new place to live.
Do you think the Haslams...
I had to get a new office. I had to perform at my job. He has not performed. Really.
Do you think they like losing? I'm just asking you.
They must. When you pick people like Johnny Manziel, and you had your rival telling you not, I want you to pick him. They must have some kind of infinity.
Okay, Kyle. Thank you.
Learners felt the same way. They like losing. For the most part, Art Modell did too.
If I was a billionaire and I had to get up in front of everybody and say, we took a big swing and a miss, I would want to just hide in the corner. I just don't know business people that want to lose money.
Can we do this?
And want to lose in sport. I mean, it's a lot of ego stuff going on.
Can we go and tell me if you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Can we separate two things here?
Sure.
A football facility and a football team's performance. Those are two different things.
You and I do this all the time. Fans don't. And
they're
I think
two different things.
If that 70% number was real that I was told, that's the biggest catalyst for people saying, well, when you win, we'll get you a new stadium.
Yeah, well, that's ridiculous.
That's where we are now. Dolores is chiming in from Cleveland. Hi, Dolores. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're good. We're glad to be talking to
Hi,
you.
Dolores.
What do you have for us?
Okay. Are you forgetting about the bartenders, the waiters, the waitresses, all that work downtown for these Browns games? I put through two kids through private schools working the Browns games.
Congratulations.
You can't get to Brook Park to do the same, Dolores?
Well, they won't have bartenders?
They don't have public transportation?
No, because I wasn't a bartender. I worked a command post, and I dispatched for the command post that oversaw the tailgaters.
Dolores, do you ever leave the city of Cleveland?
No.
Okay.
You work dispatch for the police is what you're saying, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So there won't be dispatch if they build the stadium somewhere else?
Not for Cleveland. It'll be for Brook Park Police. They'll get it.
So, and I'm going to be honest with you, Dolores, the number of police officers, we've been down here, what, 15 years? Jeff?
Yes,
almost
sir.
15 years. The number, I, you know what I say? Take the money and put it back into the police. For the money that they have to put into a new stadium, wouldn't you like to see other dispatchers be able to be hired for the city of Cleveland so that we could worry about problems other than
Absolutely.
What's going on? Other than what's going on in the Muni lot on a game day?
We have a baseball facility that's used 81 days a year. We have an arena that's used 300.
And losing.
Well, hang on, Dolores. Go ahead, Dolores. Sorry, Jeff. Let Dolores finish here. I'm sorry. She was overtime?
I worked overtime down there.
So it costs us. But who?
Duty.
So, but
for how many games, Dolores?
15. All the games that were in Cleveland, I worked the community.
Right. So
that's eight.
So go work at Progressive Field and get 81 dates.
And that's all overtime too. Who paid that overtime though? The Browns, right?
I got paid by the city.
Oh, so our taxpayer dollars were paying for your overtime, so that we had to work there. Wow.
Nice. That worked.
Doesn't seem. I'm sorry.
I mean, I didn't get a separate check. I got a check from the city,
I'm assuming the city charged.
The Browns
for the folks that were working the game.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Dolores,
thank you. We appreciate it. And thank you for being a Cleveland police officer working within dispatch.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dolores. I appreciate you. Thank you.
I honestly, the one thing that I don't think people think about this, and I do think this about this whole situation. It's not just a stadium. The Haslams want to put other stuff in. That's their prerogative, and they're footing the bill on that. From everything they say, right?
What if the Haslam said, we're just paying for the whole thing? Does anyone have an argument at that point?
Yes, people still would because of what Dolores just said. Well, you're taking jobs out of the city of Cleveland because people can't get to Brook Park.
I'd rather see them leave it in the county than move like all of those industries that moved in the 70s. Anyone that was here in the 70s that remembers knows exactly. And Jeff, you know what I'm talking about. We lost big business in the 70s to other cities that decided Cleveland was no longer their home. And it doesn't matter if you're, let's just put this, Northeast Ohio was no longer their home. 216-474-0092, because we fondly say Cleveland for everything in Northeast Ohio. 216-474-0092. Hey, let's bring in Chris Rose next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Is hanging out with us. You know him from Dugout Discussions. You know him from Baseball Today. You know him from the NFL Network. And those of you on the East Side know him from his upbringing of that fantastic school that he went to, high school, university school, growing up in Shaker Heights as well. He is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He is Sir Chris Rose. Hello, sir. How Chris. Are you?
Greetings. How's my hometown?
Depressed?
Yeah.
It's a good way to put
it.
Any hope for the Cavaliers, my friend? Any hope?
That was a Baskin sigh.
Yeah, that's
proud of you, man. Proud of you.
I mean, it's tough on it because so much is unknown, right? It's a major, major uphill battle if none of those three return, and if even just one, it's still a tough one. It's really hard because I don't know how well anybody slept Tuesday night. I didn't. I was replaying like the last 4 minutes of the game in my head. So tough. Tough.
I thought they would win game two, Chris, going into it, and I thought they would win it all the way until Halliburton hit that shot, because I just thought circumstances, you know, you lose game one, you bounce back, whatever. I thought their best chance to win with a depleted team was in that game on Tuesday. I can't see them winning in Indiana with a depleted team twice. Maybe once, maybe, probably not at all if this team is depleted. So I'm anxious to see who might be able to play and who can't play. You've dealt with athletes your whole career. People don't understand playing through injury or playing with injury. And I think that that's the situation here. If these guys could play, they'd play, wouldn't they?
Well, here's the deal. This is my school of thought. But then again, I don't yell on TV making $18 million a year. So those guys can just do whatever they want and be extremely irresponsible, in my opinion. When you're questioning athletes' toughness and whether they're hurt, people are like, well, why shouldn't they be in the game? I don't understand it. Do you know that a toe ruined the career of one of the toughest football players we've ever seen in Jack Lambert? If you don't know who he is, look him up. Went to Kent State. Second-round pick of the Steelers in 74, part of that Hall of Fame class. One badass linebacker. A toe ruined his career. Toe. Same for Deion. Ruined his career. So for us to be sitting here, for some people to be questioning Darius Garland and a toe injury, like he is his whole identity on the court is shiftiness. And if you can't do that, then what's the point of being out there? It sucks. It looked like the most benign play on which he got injured. But I'm not going to sit here and question a guy's – the guy has smashed his face like 10 times a season. He was drinking through a straw. I think you're barking up the wrong tree if you're questioning his toughness. Now, does it suck that he's not out there? Do we wish he could be there? Absolutely. But don't count me as getting in on that train with questioning whether or not these guys can play. I won't do it.
Nope, neither will I.
Let me throw another NBA-style question at you here. It has been very, very tough for the home team to win. Just ask Oklahoma City. They're the only ones that have done it in this round that we're talking about. Why do you think that is? And, I mean, like I said to open the show, if you bought the fast pass to see the Cavs and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals – the Pacers and Knicks have something to say. Maybe we should get back to the back of the line.
Yeah, I don't have a good reason as to why the home teams have struggled so significantly. I just, I can't put my finger on it at all. I do always wonder how the games are officiated. This was the sport I always felt like where you had the biggest home court advantage. that I felt like the refereeing was so heavily planted in one direction. But these days, it's really all about the crew. You know, when Tony Brothers is officiating a game, he is known as a road ref, right? And so, yeah, I think it's probably more of the refereeing crew than anything that you're getting in terms of that stuff. But, yeah, I don't have a good reason. It's incredible. I cannot believe it. Wouldn't shock me in baseball. I don't think it has that much to do with it. Football has been interesting the last few years about teams being able to win on the road. But this one is shocking.
I don't want to concede a series. Let's say the Cavs don't get this done. Do they have to sit back and take a look at their roster and in a league where star players get traded all the time, think about busting it up? Or do you continue to roll with it and try and make it work? You know, Boston stuck with Brown and Tatum for many years, but changed everything around them.
Well, I did say going into the playoffs, the same questions permeated about this team that were there a year ago, which was, are we too big in the front court? Meaning, could you play Allen and Mobley down the stretch if you needed to? And are we too small in the backcourt with Garland and Mitchell? And we're, you know, if Garland doesn't return, then we're not going to find that out. You know, Miami was, I was surprised with the ease with which we walked through that series. So Indiana would have been a much stiffer test with the way that they're constructed and the way they're built. So I don't know if we're going to get the answers that we need to know. Is it strictly that the injuries would have cost this team, or is it that we weren't going to be good enough regardless? And if we can't answer those, then you're just kind of taking a shot in the dark. We have seen, there's times in my head where I'm like, yeah, we could trade Jared Allen. And then I see a team like the Lakers, which played the year without a center after trading Anthony Davis. And that's eventually what did them in against Minnesota, because Rudy Gobert just killed them. So Evan Mobley's big, but he is best when he's roaming the court, when he has the ability to defend on the perimeter and then shift back, but he's not a center. And there aren't a ton of them around. So that's what worries me. I think it's easier for us to say, oh, we could just trade Jared Allen and we'll figure it out from there. Well, there are times that you do need Jared Allen. So I don't have an answer yet. I really think we got to get through this series if guys do return before making that assessment.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears to baseball. Don't look now, but your team seems to have a little bit of offense there in the Guardians. I mean, it's been since middle of what, that Blue Jays series. They're putting at least five runs on the board every game. And I don't know, maybe it was the Nationals bullpen was what the doctors ordered, but I'll take it. They're game and a half back on Detroit. And just when you think the offense is dead, Gabriel Arias shows up. Hello, Gabriel.
Yeah, so two things. Number one, Daniel Schneeman's running real hot, real hot. You know, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I looked at him, and I was like, whoa, this is Strugglesville, and I was wondering why he was up and Juan Brito was not. Obviously, that's not going to happen anytime in the near future. I think the biggest thing, to be honest with you, is that Gabriel Arias, for the first time in his career, looks like an everyday major leaguer. And he is, defensively, he's always been a stud. You can put him at short, third, and second, and I don't think it's a stretch to say he's the best defensively at all three of those positions on this team. But now he's giving good at-bats, and everybody likes to look at the results. I do think you have to look at the at-bats themselves, that he's not swinging on. He still occasionally does it, where he's swinging at pitches that are so far out of the strike zone, but many more good at-bats. And, you know, we've talked about it. You can't just rely on Kwan and Ozzie to be it. That there's got to be at least five guys clicking every week in order for this offense to work. And he has really, really been consistent with that. And it's remarkable. And I actually think Nolan Jones's at-bats, even though the numbers stink, some of his periphery numbers are very good. In terms of like hard hit rate and things of that nature, which I know for a lot of fans it doesn't compute and it probably shouldn't. But that means that the process is good, that sometimes you just get unlucky in this sport. So I still think that he's probably our best answer in right field for now. I don't know what they're going to do about Lane Thomas once he's healthy. And I like Angel Martinez in center. I really do. I think that he's giving decent at-bats, and he has really quickly, in my opinion, like this is a second straight year, we've turned an infielder into a center fielder between Freeman and him, and Martinez. And I think they've really both done a good job developing out there.
Chris, I thought Matt Underwood made a very interesting point yesterday in the telecast, and he said, take a look at what we have in the outfield. And I think it was Martinez and Noel and Schneeman. And he said, those are three converted infielders who are playing in the outfield right now. I think that's what it was. And it's kind of an interesting thing that's happened. And you just touched on it with Martinez. You know, he looked good in center field. Tyler Freeman looked good in center field. And so they're trying to develop this position versatility. I think it's working. But I wonder, okay, is that the way you want to go with this, or do you want to try and develop some big-time power-hitting outfielders, which they've obviously had trouble trying to do, but yet they're managing to pull all this off? I'm impressed at their versatility, but on the other hand, I think, okay, well, where are those extra sticks that you just talked about?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a challenge, right? I mean, we've been waiting on Chase DeLauder. It's nice to see that he's back doing work in Arizona, and he'll be out playing in games relatively soon. I think you're going to have to give him a shot at some point. I don't know what we're waiting for. He's now in his mid-20s. He was a first-round pick. If you haven't seen his swing, it's extremely unorthodox. I really compare him to golf fans of the 90s and early 2000s. Jim Furyk had a funky swing, but it worked. And, you know, hopefully that's what happens with DeLauder at this level. But they can't it's hard to keep nickel and dime in your way and make it through. I think one thing we've seen this year, and one thing that has been somewhat concerning is that the bullpen, right? I mean, Cade Smith has blown up the last few days. Classe has pitched very well his last few outings, but this year has been a real struggle. That can be a real combustible spot. You need a great bullpen, but I don't think it can consistently be the best part of your team because it can go the wrong way in a hurry. And it's so funny because I do this Baseball Today show. It's Monday through Friday, and I do it with former Minnesota Twins third baseman Trevor Plouffe, who still does TV work for the Twins. And Plouffe must text me 3 days a week. He asked me the same thing. He's like, how do the Guardians keep winning baseball games? And I can't explain it.
He's right.
He is right.
I cannot explain it. And I love it. I love the guys. They're a real likable team. But I do objectively watch the squad, and I sit here and I go, how did we just win this game? It doesn't make any sense. But we do it.
All right, Chris, I'm going to ask you this every time we talk to you. Handicap the Browns quarterback race as of today.
As of today, I would say, this is weird, but I would put Joe Flacco top on the depth chart. I would put him, I would actually put him 1A and Kenny Pickett 1B and then Gabriel and then Shador. But I also think that Joe Flacco has the best chance of not being on the roster week one at this point.
Okay, that goes against the Baskin and Phelps handicap race where we have Pickett 1, Flacco 2.
I think probably I said Pickett last week, but I, you know, only because of maybe familiarity with the offense and things of that nature, I guess. But I can be convinced anyway. I do think that this coaching staff has its work cut out for him because we all could. I don't think any of us would be shocked if any of the four started week one.
Nope.
I really believe that. Like, it's really possible. Yeah. How many other teams even have two guys? I mean, in Indianapolis, we know that there's a fight there. But virtually everything else, I don't know how Pittsburgh's situation is going to finish up. I still think Rodgers ends up there. But is there anywhere else where it's this open a battle? Nothing.
Nope. Chris, you got
anywhere,
it. Oh, sorry.
All I was going to say, is there anybody else outside of Indy where there's a legit competition?
Doesn't seem to be.
I'm thinking. It doesn't feel that way at all.
No, doesn't seem to be. Giants have said Russ Wilson, so.
I don't think that. So I don't think that there's two, let alone four guys.
It's
good luck.
Good stuff to ponder. All right, my friend. Chris, as always, we appreciate your time and your interest in still being a part of the community here in Northeast Ohio. You know we love you, my friend.
What does that mean?
That you want to be a part of the show every week, and I appreciate that.
Come on.
No, I know you do. And I love the fact that you're willing to talk to us every week because, I mean, you don't have to, let's be honest. And you do.
Yeah. And I heard a bunch of good stuff. I just visited the Blue Jays in Anaheim yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot of good things to say about the Guardians. I was had a long talk with Miles Straw about it.
So, did he say he enjoyed his time here or not?
He could not have been more complimentary. I mean, I congratulated him. It wasn't easy. I know he was making his money still in the minor leagues last year,
right.
His major league money. But it's not easy to emotionally go through that when you've been an everyday major leaguer for a long time and then to go back. And I told him that. I said I was really proud of the way he handled things. And he said, listen, it just didn't work out. He goes, but I have nothing but love for everybody in that organization. He's like, I'm rooting for him.
That's awesome.
So I thought that was
nice.
Great.
That's cool. I liked it.
Really cool.
Jeff knows I was like his biggest fan, so that makes me feel good that he said that. All right, Chris, we're out of here. Thank you, my friend. Thanks,
bud. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye.
And 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We'll get back to sports here in a second and talk about the Browns. Danny Green's coming up at 1 o'clock. Can I just say this? That I mean, we live in a pretty fast-paced world. Everything seems to be quick. We get information, like, within seconds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And is it
we
me?
Have raccoons with meth pipes.
That's true. We have.
That isn't a Mad Lib. I give up.
Could that story be any funnier? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just, you know, we glanced up at the news during the break, and I'm just kind of right now they're doing a investigative piece with the woman whose pet raccoon was holding a meth pipe
in the car. Raccoons shouldn't meth pipe and drive.
Fox 8 really go all the way down to Springfield for this thing? To go interview this woman?
Hey, Andy. Fox 8 knows good news when they see it.
I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. Let me go through my checklist. Boon, meth pipe. Yeah, get in the car. We're going down.
We're going to Springfield.
We're going down. That's two for two.
He's cute, isn't he?
Cute little fella.
He's cute.
Meth will do that to a raccoon.
Well, I mean, it's either that or we're on Pope Watch.
I mean,
we saw white smoke from Pope Watch, so.
Well, so that was my other
point,
too.
You know what it was?
Too. What?
It was from the raccoon and the meth pipe. You were mistaken. It wasn't
white smoke?
It wasn't out of the Vatican. It was from the raccoon and the meth pipe.
It was the chimney from the double wide.
Wouldn't it be crazy if the raccoon, like, peeked his head out over while the white smoke's coming out around him?
And said, dude.
I think we got a pope.
We got a pope, man.
Don't you? My original point of the story was, don't you think it's kind of cool that, you know, again, we live in this day and age where you get information in seconds and AI and all this, and like at Conclave, man, they send up smoke and they're like, black smoke? Nope. White smoke? Yes.
We're not sending out texts and emails, are we?
No, I think it's actually real.
White smoke. How do they make sure the smoke is white?
So I was watching.
So it's chemicals.
Yeah, it's a chemical.
Yeah, it's chemicals. And like the same way, were you in chemistry class where you would burn something and you could turn the flame green?
See,
if that was
here, the EPA would be all over it. We do still have an EPA, don't we?
Don't get fired.
Don't get fired. But don't you think it's kind of cool the way they do this?
Actually, it is. Yeah.
I mean,
how old school you can get.
Like, you don't have to be Catholic to appreciate the whole ritual
the
of this.
The pomp and circumstance and the ritualistic. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
Oh, it'll be the same thing when the Dalai Lama passes, you know, and everybody's going to be focused in on how you find the next Dalai Lama. I mean, it's going to be really cool to see how that goes because I don't remember it.
I've told Dan.
That's because you don't have total consciousness. If you did, you'd be good. Gunga galunga.
So I got that going for me, which is nice.
I told Dan. I want the new pope to be from Des Moines. Hey, we got a pope from Des Moines.
Well, we had a shot. We had one shot in like eight out of contenders here, according to the New York Times.
Really?
Yeah. Robert.
Got to be an American pope eventually, huh?
Yeah. Robert Francis Prevost, American cardinal
From Des Moines?
From Chicago.
Close enough to Des Moines.
From Chicago.
Oh, the Popemobile's looking good right now, huh?
You know what's going to happen when they if he ends up being the guy?
Who, the guy from Chicago?
The guy from Chicago, yeah. And the first thing he's going to do, his first words are going to be, end a one, end a two, take me out.
Come on, man.
No, followed by an old style and a shot of Malort.
No? Okay. Sorry. Sorry, got carried away.
I don't know. And then the other part of it, too, is so the white smoke came out, and then the Swiss Guards are now marching in St. Peter's Square, right?
That's part of the tradition. Are you watching the live stream of the Pope?
No, well, I saw a shot of it, and then...
I'm into the white smoke.
I don't just watch it, but when I saw the Swiss Guards come out, I was like...
Did they have the raccoon
with them? Man, no wonder these guys are neutral.
The t-shirt.
They had the raccoon on a leash in the back with a pipe.
With a pipe. Just blowing white smoke. Going around the town like it's
being followed by the SUV with Ohio plates.
Is her garbage falling out of the back of the SUV?
Hey!
Then there's a squirrel in the back smoking a bowl. Oh, man. It's like a cartoon. Anyway.
There are people all over Sistine Chapel area.
Look, how does that happen? How does a raccoon end up with a meth pipe? Come on, man.
Look, a skunk on cocaine. Yay!
Oh, there's Cocaine Bear. Oh. Anyway, the Swiss...
I'm sorry. That's just great TV.
The Swiss guards are marching in St. Peter's Square. Very cool, but you can understand why Switzerland stays neutral in every war, because there's no way anybody's intimidated by this, by these guards. There's just no way. I mean, Jeff, I can't believe you haven't given us your Mr. Blackwell fashion statement on the Swiss guards that are now marching in St. Peter's Square.
Ever I think seen it's him? Fabulous.
Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever seen him?
Not completely.
Here, I'm going to show you really quick. And you're going to give me your
opinion on that. Oh, goodness. This is always good radio. Andy has turned the monitor to show it to Jeff.
Now do you know why Switzerland's neutral in every war? Because there ain't no way that those guards are defending them.
Yeah, you're not going to.
No. Although if it was a fashion war.
Those uniforms aren't exactly camouflage.
Can I give you a little bit of sports ball news?
Yeah, give us a little bit of sports. We got about a minute here.
All right. Okay. The Pittsburgh Pirates have relieved Derek Shelton of his duties as Pirates manager.
Shelly, Derek. He's a good dude.
I kind of felt like that was coming, didn't you, a little bit?
Yeah, they have been horrendously
bad. The last
bad.
Couple days have been bad. Ah, that's too bad. Ah, I like Derek.
Bench coach Don Kelly has been named manager.
His wife was a radio personality here in Cleveland for a while. All right, well, he'll get a gig somewhere else. I hope they're still paying him. If they're still paying him, then I feel good for Derek.
Well, I'm sure his contract didn't end on May 7th.
Oh, hurry up. We got to let him go. It's May 8th. Uh-oh. Oh, okay, we're free.
Derek, get out of here.
We're free.
Take your pet raccoon with you.
Are you going to keep? You're going to ride that joke as long as you can?
Oh, we got another 2 or 3 minutes of the segment.
Is that like supposed to be you, like you and your little dog too? Is that what that's turning into? You and your little raccoon can get them.
Could there be anything like more Ohio than that story though? It makes us all look so bad. Like people are like, oh, only in Ohio. Only in Ohio can have a raccoon that's got a meth pipe.
Oh, if anybody comes at Ohio for this one, all you need to type in is a Michigan man and just enjoy. Just enjoy the insanity that is Michigan.
Man, oh man. Danny Green's going to join us at 1. I know a lot of people want to talk about the Cavs. I'm going to give somebody a chance here to talk about that. Ryan's driving around. Hey, Rhino.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I tell you, man, there's some stuff just makes you...
Are you driving? Are you seriously driving right now?
I am not driving right now. I'm walking right now, but I'm
all right, be careful. Are there any animals?
No raccoons in the car?
Any animals with paraphernalia in the backseat of your car?
No idea what that means, but okay. I tell you, man, there's some better things out there going on, obviously, than just sports in particular. But you know, just makes you pinch yourself and say, you know what, you know, there is still a fighting chance. There is a scenario in which, you know, these Cavs can collect themselves and say, you know what is more important? Is it going to be my future? Is it going to be just going to be, you know, the game three? And again, they have to put themselves in perspective and say, you know what do I want to do? Because again, there's a lot on the line right now, man. And this is an opportunity that rarely occurs for the Cavs in particular, for any NBA team that matter. But again, there is a scenario in which, you know, if they do collectively say, you know what, we got to get rebound. We got to get back there. We got to help our troops. Cause again, they're the ones who are fight, scratching, and clawing for the city of Cleveland.
Just like the raccoon. Just like the raccoon, Ryan. Thank you. Hey, we got to roll. Sorry, man. I appreciate it. Ryan chiming in, talking a little bit about the Cavaliers. We're going to get back into the Cavs.
All right, gentlemen, before we head to break, though, a little bit of news. Panthers are releasing edge rusher Jadeveon Clowney per ESPN. Guys!
Oh. Do we want him? 216-474-0092. Do we want him? 216-474-0092.
Do we have to answer that next?
Yeah, let's do it after the break. We'll come back after the break. We'll give you an answer.
Oh, we have Danny Green.
And we got
Wait,
Danny.
You have an answer that's more than two letters?
I would certainly take a look at Jadeveon Clowney.
No.
That's a hard no. Yeah, I'm done.
No.
I liked him when we first had him.
I would take a look.
He
just like Gabe Davis, just released by Jacksonville.
He once had a Browns coach walk up to him and say, get in there, and he went, no.
Didn't we just sign a wide receiver that did the same thing? Yeah, so
right. So
you just lost the argument. More after this. Next,
you're done, Dan.
Yeah, thanks.